Welcome to our deep dive. Today we're tackling something that, well, it seems to be hitting almost everyone. Chronic stress. We've got some fascinating sources here, and they reveal it's way more than just a feeling. It looks like a full-blown 21st century public health crisis.
And an economic one, too. Absolutely.
Right. So our mission today is to really dig into why this is happening and, you know, crucially, what we can actually do about it.
Exactly. We'll be exploring how modern life creates this kind of sustained mismatch with our biology, our evolutionary biology.
A mismatch. How so?
Well, it leads to what our sources are calling allostatic load. Think of it as just prolonged wear and tear on the body.
Wear and tear. Okay.
Yeah, it's really like a silent epidemic. It's quietly driving so many of the common diseases we're seeing today.
Okay, let's unpack that then. Physiologically, what is chronic stress actually doing to us? How's it different from, you know, that normal quick stress response, like seeing a spider or something?
Right. Good distinction. The key difference is persistence. Acute stress, like your spider example, that's your body's fight or flight. It's for immediate danger, meant to be short.
Okay.
Chronic stress, though, it's like that system gets stuck on for weeks, months, even years.
Stuck on, right.
And this really messes with your HPA axis. That's the brain's command center for stress hormones.
Yeah.
It keeps pumping out cortisol.
Cortisol. Yeah, I've heard of that one.
And what's really surprising, maybe, is that this prolonged high cortisol exposure, it can actually damage almost every organ system. It can physically remodel the body.
Remodel the body.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this cumulative wear and tear, this allostatic load, that's what directly links chronic stress to things like hypertension, insulin resistance, even changes in brain structure affecting memory and how we regulate emotions.
Wow. Okay. So it's definitely not just in your head. It's physically changing us. That's quite intense.
It is.
So then what are these things constantly pushing our systems into this high alert state? Our sources point to a pretty complex web, it seems.
Oh, it's definitely multifaceted. Workplace pressure is just massive.
Yeah.
You know, relentless workloads, job insecurity, that always on culture. It's a huge trigger.
Yeah, I can see that.
Financial instability is another big one. That constant worry about money keeps the stress response firing.
Right. Makes sense.
And here's something really striking. Social isolation.
Isolation. Really?
Yes. The research suggests it carries a risk for premature mortality that's, get this, equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
15 cigarettes just from being isolated. That's staggering.
It is. And it raises this really important question. Why does just the perception of threat activate these ancient pathways?
Perception, like scrolling through social media and comparing yourself.
Exactly, that kind of thing. The 247 information environment, constant comparison. Even without any physical danger, it's enough to trigger that full stress response and keep us perpetually on edge.
That 15 cigarette stat really sticks with you. It underlines how these modern stressors have such a profound physical impact. And you mentioned the economics earlier. Beyond individual well-being, our sources say this is a global economic issue. Just how big are we talking?
The numbers are, frankly, staggering. The global economy loses something like $1 trillion annually.
A trillion. Wow.
Yeah, just from productivity declines linked to depression and anxiety. That's about 12 billion working days lost.
Incredible.
And when you look at the indirect costs, lost human potential, lower productivity overall, they just dwarf the direct healthcare spending.
So investing in well-being isn't just a social nice to have.
Exactly. It's a direct driver of economic vitality. And globally, something like 62% of people report being stressed enough that it impacts their daily life. Gen Z, millennials. They seem to be feeling it the most.
Okay, that's a huge burden. It sounds pretty daunting, actually. But the sources offer solutions, right? From individual things to bigger changes.
Absolutely. It's not all doom and gloom. Yeah. On an individual level, approaches like cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, are showing real results.
Helping reframe thoughts.
Exactly.
Huh.
And mindfulness-based stress reduction,
MBSR,
they show measurable physiological benefits, like actually reducing cortisol levels.
Okay, so things individuals can do. What about organizations?
Well, comprehensive workplace wellness programs, they actually yield a significant return on investment, like up to $6 back for every dollar spent.
$6? How?
Through reduced absenteeism, better productivity, it pays off.
Interesting. You also mentioned something about digital therapeutics. That sounds futuristic.
It's actually here now. digital therapeutics, or DTX. These are essentially FDA-cleared apps. Think of things like Rejoin for depression or Daylight Arcs for anxiety.
Apps cleared by the FDA.
Yes. They offer evidence-based interventions that are scalable. They can hugely expand access to care, which is critical.
So reaching more people who might not get help otherwise.
Precisely. So ultimately, the path forward looks like a kind of hybrid ecosystem of care. You integrate these individual tools, organizational changes, and even public policy.
Like strengthening social safety nets, mental health parity.
Exactly. All those pieces working together.
Okay. So this deep dive really paints chronic stress as the systemic crisis. It's driven by this deep mismatch, like you said, between our sort of ancient biology and modern life's demands.
Right. But what's fascinating, I think, is that by truly understanding the origins and the widespread impact, we can actually unlock some really powerful multi-level solutions. Solutions that are both effective and, importantly, accessible.
So thinking about this,
right.
What does it all mean for you listening right now? Maybe consider how understanding this physiological wear and tear of chronic stress, how that might actually change the way you prioritize your own daily choices.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly not just about feeling a bit better in the moment. It seems it's really about actively protecting your long-term health, your vitality, something to think about.